This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody, let's go right to him. Kyle Krabs of Locked On Fins podcast just spent the week at the Combine. Got a lot of information. Deepest positions, weakest positions in the draft. As now you have a chance to kind of see everything and see what everybody's talking about. Give me a couple of your choices at 13 if the Dolphins stay at 13, knowing what they need, those four or five positions of real need that you might take.
Yeah, good morning, Joe. It's going to be really interesting because, like, a week from today is when the tampering window starts to open, quote-unquote legal tampering. Just call it a negotiation window. But that direction that they take in free agency – I think can nudge this position that I would choose to kind of favor where to use 13. I think a lot of the value is going to be on the defensive side of the football. I think between the pass rush group and interior defensive linemen like Kenneth Grant, potentially a cornerback like Will Johnson or Jadae Barron, there's a couple of linebackers and safeties as players who have really rare physical attributes at size, like Jahad Campbell from Alabama at linebacker, who can rush the passer in addition to playing on the edge, and then Nick Emanwori, who was a safety who absolutely blew the combine up at South Carolina from South Carolina this past week. I think there's a lot of options on the defensive side of the ball that would make a lot of sense, and you could use them as a jigsaw puzzle to fit within the pieces that you already have on that side of the ball.
All right, so I got to ask you, the first position you said was a pass rusher, a guy on the edge. You still have Phillips, Chop, and Chubb. If they keep those guys and two of them are coming off injury, do you still make that a priority if you're the Miami Dolphins, that pass rush up that high in the draft?
I would say this, I wouldn't allow that to prevent me from picking one of those players if I was absolutely head over heels in love with one of them, because Bradley Chubb didn't play last year. You're looking at a potential cap casualty if they hold on to him, and if not, then next year if they restructure him, now you're talking about $36 million cap hit for Bradley Chubb. Would he stay healthy? Do you want to keep your eggs in that basket? And then Jalen Phillips is in a contract. You're coming off of two season-ending injuries in which he played half the season or less. So I think you look at the big picture, and there's no such thing as having too many good pass rushers. If that's the player that you are head over heels in love with somebody that's too good to be true there at 13, I wouldn't dismiss the idea that you should take that player.
I think a lot of people agree this cornerback thing is pretty serious, obviously, for coverage and all the different things you want to do and your blitz packages to get a guy on the outside that can do it, unless you think you can develop somebody that's still on that roster right now. So that would be – you have a couple guys, though, that you do like a cornerback that you think could fit that 13 spot?
Yeah, and I think there's a couple you could extend it down to 48, too. There's a lot of different body types at corner and a lot of different skill sets at corner that I think are really attractive options. Now, I do think this team should probably do something with Kader Coe, who is a restricted free agent, take advantage of that additional year of player control as a guy who hasn't hit 4 years of tenure yet. I'm not counting on anything from Cam Smith, but he's a piece of that young collection of names with Storm Duck and Isaiah Johnson and Jason Maitre, guys who flashed in the preseason. You obviously have Ramsey. If you bring back Kohu, I think you could probably go a free agent signing and then a draft pick that you would be comfortable with playing based off what he showed in college. And if you did that, I feel like you would have enough competition and a deep enough room of contenders that you could kind of let the competition sort itself out of that group. But that means I think you do need two corners when it's all said and done.
We talked earlier this morning about the Cam Ward show coming up here. The whole NFL is going to be down here, probably like they haven't seen in years, for his pro day coming up March 24th, along with all the other guys that didn't run 40s, his receivers and some of the other players. How you feeling about Cam Ward? What's the word on Cam Ward? It seems to me that he's kind of running out in front of everybody the way everybody's talking right now, clearly the number one quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's definitely where the momentum is headed. And, you know, you've reached either misinformation or separation season. And I don't think the Cam Ward stock rising in separation from the rest of the quarterbacks is misinformation. I think he does have the right profile. He's got that confidence and bravado about him that you want leading your offense with a big-time arm. I think he's either going to go one or somebody's going to trade up to one and he's going to go one. That's kind of what I think is going to end up happening. You kind of get the sense Tennessee might like to get out of that pick. Seems like they have eyes for Abdul Carter, the pass rusher from Penn State. If they could facilitate a swap with, say, the Giants at three, or the Giants come up and draft, I think they would pick Cam Ward. And if Tennessee stays put and picks a quarterback, I think Ward would be their pick as well.
All right, bringing her back here, speaking of young quarterbacks you might draft, what'd you think of the group that did throw at the Combine?
I try not to put too much stock into the ball placement in that setting just because you've never thrown to any of those guys before. For sometimes it's the first time you've lined up with a guy. So I didn't walk away from the Will Howard workout like some people did, just by jaw on the floor, like, well, you can't draft this guy because he couldn't complete passes to these guys he never threw to at the Combine before. But it's a group that I have a really hard time selling myself on anything before day three, if I'm being honest, just because of who I expect is going to be available when the Dolphins pick. They've got this big void from 48 to 98. Now, if I was a team that needed a quarterback, like, yeah, I'd take Cam Ward with the first overall pick if I needed a quarterback. But for the Dolphins specifically, that collection of talent that's probably going to be day two, I think Jackson Dart will be off the board by 48. So now you're looking at Quinn Ewers, Dylan Gabriel, Will Howard, Tyler Shuck is a 26-year-old rookie who had three season-ending injuries and played 7 years of college football. It's just that's not really what feels like an optimal usage of a day two selection when you're probably going to be picking a free agent quarterback that's got experience anyway too.
I got to ask you before we go any further, we've had so much talk. It's amazing, the Tyreek Hill thing. And a lot of people, I don't want to speak for you, I'm getting it that a lot of people want him out of here. They want to trade. What? I know how you feel. You and I have talked about that. What are you getting, though, from all your stuff you're doing on social media? What's the thought that you're getting that most of the fans want to do with Tyreek Hill?
It seems like it's pretty split. It seems like there's a pretty fair group who is frustrated with the team that says, I don't blame him. I'm frustrated too. And then there's seemingly the other 50% that has the shoe on the other foot. Just doesn't see a encouraging path forward here if you continue to try to make this thing work, and would prefer to get something for a player who, with what his compensation schedule looks like in 2026 anyway, the fact that he's on the wrong side of 30 now, there's just not a long-term pathway. And if you're making long-term decisions this offseason to try to gear up for your next competitive window, I think it's worth asking the question, what is it worth hanging on to Tyreek Hill in what is probably going to be a transition year that you're trying to compete throughout?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're going to keep him. But I want to ask you about the other guy. The reason I brought it up, too, is so Jalen Waddle had 58 catches, 744 yards, and two touchdowns for Jalen Waddle. Two in 15 games. You got to get a lot more out of him. He is, I used to say he was a number one receiver. He has jumped way out of that club right now. What would you expect if we could make him more of a priority? Can he be a big-time number one receiver or not?
I'm not going to sit here and promise that he would put up 1,700 yards, but I have a lot of confidence in his route-running ability, his separation ability. He obviously has explosiveness. I think he's better getting off press than what Tyreek is. I think he's probably better at the top of the route. Now, Tyreek's linear, more explosive. I think he's a better vertical receiver down the field. It's just winning on those big shot plays down the field. But I do think Waddle, if he was in the position to be the feature player that got 150 targets, I don't think you'd have a question of whether or not he was a capable number one receiver. It's just he's coexisted in this ecosystem where last year I think the passing offense was kind of broken when you saw all of the concepts underneath that didn't really push the ball. You know, this was a team 2 years ago that had this really robust push the ball down the field type mentality, and they were the exact opposite of that this year, and I don't know how much of that was by design, how much of that was they got into the season and kind of realized, hey, like, these bets we made on the offensive line didn't pan out, so we're kind of screwed here with being able to play the way that we wanted to. I don't know what it is, but I think all of that compounds into Jalen Waddle's profile, where he's in the prime of his career. I know people are down a little bit because he's gotten banged up the last couple of years. But in 2023, it was big shots over the middle. He took a late hit against New England that got him a concussion, and he missed the Denver game. Took another big shot over the middle against Tennessee. And then this year, unfortunately, just got rolled up on him from behind in the run game in Week 15. So I think he's a really, really great player. I think he could be a focal point of your passing offense if you gave him that opportunity.
All right, so I got to ask you, because the offensive line always pops up, and I know you said before you think a lot of it can be done in free agency at that guard position. So you're telling me if Chris Greer – and I agree, I don't think Chris Greer is going to take a pure guard with that high a pick. But what if the guy's a tackle guard? Because we're seeing a lot of tackles become guards, whatever it might be, shorter arms or people just think that they'd be better, the body's better structured for inside.
I wouldn't dismiss it if the right player was there. I think the player that would have made the most sense in that stratosphere would have probably been Armon Membu, the right tackle from Missouri. 330 pounds, he ran a 4.9. He's really explosive.
Wow.
I think he's somebody who, if he were there, would be the one that I would kind of stop and look at, because I see some guard tendencies, but he's a really high-caliber right tackle. So you could ask yourself, okay, Austin Jackson, he's played inside. Do you move him? Do you move Membu inside and leave Austin? And then if he gets hurt, then you could kick Membu out. That would be the one that I would really sit there and stare hard at if he was on the board at 13 and have a hard time passing him up. But, like, Tyler Booker from Alabama has been a popular choice in mock drafts. I just don't think he's a phone booth guy, but at 330, when you watch him on film, he just profiles as more of a gap scheme player. And, you know, drafting that with what I don't think is any tackle appeal, I'd be pretty confident that that's not the direction that they're going to go unless they end up dramatically changing some of the pillars and identifying traits they're looking for in running their offense.
Kyle, last question for you. Safeties, deep class of safeties. I just feel like Dolphins are one of those first three picks will be a safety.
I would not be surprised. I think you've got good options at 48 and at 98. I think you might be able to get lucky and have somebody at 98 that in a typical draft isn't there, whether that's Kevin Winston from Penn State. I'm a huge fan of Lathan Ransom from Ohio State. He's a big-time hitter, really, really explosive tackler and really good in run defense. But has played a little bit all over the place for Ohio State, is comfortable not just living in the box. He can play some split field stuff. Jonas Sanker from Virginia is another name that at 98 or at 114 might be there for you. If you want a guy with big-time ball skills, Billy Bowman from Oklahoma is a little undersized, but he tested well. He's got some of the best ball production in the class. He just needs to clean up his tackling, and I think that might have him slide into the range where Miami might be able to get him with their third or fourth pick. So they will have options for sure. I think it's going to be an attractive day two, early day three target spot for them. But I would just say, you know, let's figure out how to get three more picks on day two so we can get a lot of these guys at other spots, because if you do that, man, this is a good class to have it if you can get it.
Well, Mike and Chris will slide. We have seen him past history. He will slide if he sees value, for sure. But obviously, a little urgency on getting this thing flipped around and filling out this roster. Hey, bud, thank you. Kyle, appreciate you coming on.
Of course, guys. Good catching up with you.
All right, Kyle Crabbs, Locked On Fins podcast. Man, you got to check it out. That kid is really good at what he does. Ed Jovanovsky, pretty damn good, too. Panthers TV analyst, former Panther. Going to join us in this 8 o'clock hour. We'll talk about the Panthers, man. Here they go, off and running with a new defenseman. Maybe more on the way, and trying to figure out Matthew Tkachuk. Could he be back for the playoffs? Hopefully. All right, right now I want to talk to you about Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing, man. Trained as certified technicians, 135 trucks on the road, 35 years of business, 7 days a week. All I can tell you is this. I've known new Big Daddy Lenny. Used to go off Big Daddy Lenny a lot. Great guy to be around. But we lost him a couple years ago. But we got Eric, we got Mike, we got Chippy, all the rest of them still there, still family owned, all the same folks still working. Over the reason I bring it up, this thing was built by Big Daddy on great service. That guy, if you say, well, I got dinner on Friday night, you go, no, we need to take care of this and you have dinner. Just tell her you're going to be late, because that's the way Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing take care of work. Licensed, experienced plumbers, trained and certified technicians, 7 days a week, 135 trucks on the road. The reason is great service, man, with people that are really good at what they do. If you need a new water heater, you need a new air conditioning unit, doesn't matter, because we got them in the storage right now, ready to go. Ready to go for you, man. All you got to do is tell us what size you need. We'll come out. Same day installation is always a goal. Financing plans. But that warehouse is full of air conditioning units and water heaters for you. Still family owned and operated. Financing plans to help you out. They're doing it all. No excuses at Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing. You make sure you tell them Joe Rose said to give them a call. And tell him, hey, I heard he's really good. I'm related to Joe. Matter of fact, it'd be nice. Tell him you're either my best friend or you're related. 1-888-349-6922 for Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing. Hey, welcome back. Good morning to everybody out there. Hopefully everybody having off to a nice start, man. There's nothing worse. I don't know about you, but sometimes when my day starts poorly, it continues through the day. Like, it doesn't get turned around till the very end of the day. So I hope you're not having that kind of day. I hope it's off to a great start. Or if it is bad, you can flip that bad boy around just a little bit here. We got a lot of stuff going on. I did want to say this about the Canes from yesterday. It's day one, as I told Coach Cristobal yesterday, hey, what'd you think? And so, listen, offensive line's going to be really friggin' good and really deep. Basically, lose their starting center, but they got a transfer portal on the best high school center already in, so they're in great shape at the center position. Jalen Rivers, I think, is really good, but they got a lot of good players. They're gonna fill in nicely on that. The D line looks really good and should be fine. I know they like their pass rushing class even better. Ruben back and healthy and all those things, so they like that group. But the group they're really excited about, and they went out in their recruiting class and the transfer portal and got themselves a lot of defensive backs, a lot, and they're running around getting a hand on the ball a lot yesterday. So that was a good sign. That was a good sign. I don't want to get ahead of myself after that, because they're trying to downplay the quarterback thing a little bit right now, and I understand it. They want to run the ball and everything, and they got a whole bunch of new tight ends. I mean, they lose their top four wide receivers. JoJo Traitor, number one guy right now. You lose your top four wide receivers and your top three tight ends, or three of your four tight ends. You got one young guy back. So there's a lot of new guys in those positions, but saying all that stuff, it comes down to the guy that you gave a lot of money to. It just does. And on top of that, he's coming in replacing a guy that just had the greatest passing year in the history of University of Miami football. Hell, it was one of the greatest years by anybody, anywhere. And so Carson Beck takes over, and he's not throwing yet. He's still getting that elbow. It's gonna be a while. They do said he's getting closer, and expect him 100% here real soon. But Carson Beck's gonna have to make throws. He just is. Listen, man, you didn't give him $4 million to hand the ball off and throw 15 times a game. And you gave him big money, made him one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the country. Carson Beck needs to be able to make throws. And again, I know he's not going to be Cam Ward, so the throws you saw last year, don't get mad, because this guy ain't going to make them. He's not. But he can make. He's a good player. I'm guessing they did their homework after the surgery and how he played. Start of the year, he's really good and everything else. But Carson Beck, you're going to be in a lot of tight ball games. We could just, let's just say it now. We're going to be in a lot of tight ball games. And you're going to need somebody to close them out. And there's going to be a shortage of time. You're going to have to throw it. Carson Beck is going to have to get, and hopefully he's a gym rat and a guy that works as hard. One thing about Cam Ward came in, was all business. This wasn't, wow, I'm in Miami, I'm going to party, I'm going to have a great time, I'm going to enjoy this. That guy was all business. That guy is about one thing. That guy was about coming in here and being the first pick in the draft. That was the goal. Now, it's one of the greatest transfer portal moves we've ever seen, from bailing out of the draft to what he's doing now.
Well, speaking of bailing out, Cam Ward bailed you out a lot of games last year, man.
Yeah, no question.
He was the reason you came back in a lot of those.
All of them.
Yeah, I guess all of them. Right, yeah.
Just about all of them. You're right. They were down in every frigging game, it seemed like.
So you're going to need elite-level play out of that position, and you paid elite-level money, right? I mean, you're paying this guy almost three times. My math's not great, but almost three times you paid Cam.
Well, yeah, from 1.5 to 4, just to your point, yes.
I don't know, 2 point something.
But anyway, instead of doing the math, you're right. Carson Beck.
But you're paying him like he's an elite quarterback, which is weird to say at the college level, but
he's an
that's
elite,
where we're at right now.
He's an elite paid college quarterback.
Got that second contract money, yeah.
Hey, enjoy your girlfriend. We're not saying you shouldn't, but your ass needs to be here for one reason, and I hope you want to get to the pros as badly as Cam Ward does and want your stock to go up like Cam Ward did. I hope so. And I hope you're not the first guy to leave every day. I hope you're the last guy to leave and the first guy in the building in the morning. And I hope you're the guy when spring is over and you can throw every day. I hope you're the guy calling all those young wide receivers saying, I want to work today. Meet me at 9. Meet me at 8. Oh, by the way, I got breakfast for us. Let's go do it.
That's funny what one monster season can do, right? And it's kind of like the Joe Burrow thing. Joe Burrow had that crazy season. And
you know what?
He ends up being the top guy.
You're exactly right.
Cam Ward has the crazy season, ends up being the top guy.
And Joe Burrow is still one of the top guys. Hey, I think the Cam Ward story, what he's done so far, going from Washington State, from a smaller school to Washington State, Miami grabs him after he decides not to go in the draft. And that story, of course, we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, his I hope while Carson Beck's out there, he realizes, holy crap, I saw the throws this guy makes, man. This is
Someone just texted in, Joe, do you know something bad about Carson Beck that you're not telling us? You're certainly talking that way. I just think you're
not 100% right now.
He's
not.
Worry. But I think you're setting people up for the fact that he is not Cam Ward, which I think is important to do because the expectation that he's going to be Cam Ward is not realistic.
I just want to make sure he's in love with football like Cam Ward.
Okay.
I have no reason.
I just want to show up and play the game.
And honestly, they made a decision off a serious injury, and they said he's almost back and going to be ready to go. And
but it's a 1 year thing, right?
It's a 1 year.
I don't care. This guy loves football, that stuff. Like,
why
doesn't want to play after next year, that's his decision. But you know, he needs to play big this year that they're paying him.
Yes. Anyway,
you don't take that kind of money if you're not. You're not all in, man.
It's a good opportunity for,
right?
You know what?
That's a lot of pressure. This guy's got a ton of pressure on him right now.
You think he knows that?
I'm sure he does,
yeah.
But that's a lot of pressure.
Nothing he can do right now, he's not healthy. He can just stand back there, pick it up, ask questions. Hey, what do you guys see?
And he'll be fine, by the way.
Okay.
Like, it's okay that he's not out there throwing right now. There'll be plenty of time for that.
Every throw you get.
It's not like it's his first game out of high school.
He's not thrown to a whole bunch of guys that have a lot of experience.
That's
in college
okay.
Football. Okay.
We'll get it. We'll figure it out.
We always do. You got to tell him, Justin, you got to be telling those guys.
I'll go over there and I'll just say, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. You know what I was going
to
have
that's
you
what
do
I say that. To the, with the Dolphins when these free agents pop up.
Why you got to do
just
that?
Just figure it out.
Why you got to just bring that up? We were doing great.
Because that's the answer to everything.
We got Ed Jovanovski.
Just figure it out.
Ed.
Panthers figure it out.
Boy, they're making a run now.
Kachuk got hurt. They figured
and
that out.
I don't think they're done. We're going to talk to Ed Jovanovski about that. NHL trade deadline, you guys said it's Friday, 3 o'clock. Bill Zito got some more money, got some of that Kachuk money. Way this thing frees up, I guess, almost $9 million. He is looking to get some more players on that team. No question about it. All right. Jovo will join us in just a second, but first, got to tell you, Marlins baseball going on right now, spring training, and before you know it, it is going to be back to this opener, March 27th, when they face off against the Pirates. You've never seen an opening day like this before. It's Marlins baseball infused with the best of 305 to create opening Dade. Get ready for the hottest fiesta in Miami featuring the biggest names on and off the field. South Florida legend Dan Marino kicks off the fiesta with a historic first pitch. Get ready to celebrate Sandy's comeback season and stay tuned for surprise icons lighting up the post-game concert. This is a can't-miss global event, and it's happening right here in Miami. Don't miss the biggest party of the season. That home opener is right around the corner. The whole world's invited to get your tickets today. Marlins.com/tickets.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, thank you, Woody. And, man, the Panthers, real good win against one of the hottest teams in hockey last night, Tampa Bay, with 2-1. And Ed Jovanovski, former Panthers TV analyst now, working late last night, joins us. Jovo, how you doing, bud?
Hey, Joe. Good morning, man.
Hey, this is kind of fun now, man. You get a new guy that you know a thing or two. Well, first of all, what'd you think about the trade here before the trade deadline this Friday at 3 o'clock about getting Seth Jones?
Well, it's really exciting. You know, you're getting a very large man on the back end that skates well, that covers a lot of ice. You know, you can put him in a lot of different situations, especially now with him and Mikula being paired up. That's probably, you know, the biggest, you know, pair, you know, in the league. But
yeah, wow.
It's just one of those things where you're looking to improve your team. You know, it's not fun when you get rid of, you know, a player. Spencer Knight is a great young goaltender that had a lot of saves yesterday for a big win in his debut. But in this business, as you know, in any other sport, you know, when you want to acquire a top-end talent, you got to give up something. And that's exactly what happened. But I think the fans here in Florida are really going to come to love Seth Jones and what he brings to the table.
So we got to talk about the Matthew Tkachuk thing. I know you're not a doctor and you don't play one on the radio with me. The groin injury, long-term IR, this does free up money even if he comes back for the playoffs. Joe, you probably feel like I do, that the team is going to green light this to try to load this team up. They're not done before Friday. You expect another move to take place?
Yeah, Joe, I think on same lines as you. I think when you look at, you know, you have some space there, you know, with Matthew going on LTIR, and hopefully we see him, you know, down the road. But, yeah, certainly I think where this team, how hard this team has worked, it's not easy coming off a Stanley Cup win, and you're back at it now, but you find yourself at the top of the division and poised to make another run. You got 20 games left. The team is firing right now. And, you know, you look at Bill Zito, you know, just his track, you know, his history, he's always kind of made the right moves and whatever he feels that, you know, he can make the team better in certain areas, he's going to absolutely go do it. I think he owes it to the players, and the players appreciate everything that he's done. So, yeah, I think I don't know exactly, Joe, you know, I'm not playing doctor or I'm playing GM. I think these guys are well aware of where the team is, and hell, man, this team can do it again. I said it before. When you look at this team right now in a 7-game series, I find it hard to believe or to think that they can lose those series. I mean, they're that good right now, and anything you can do to help the group, they're going to look into it.
Yeah, no question about it. By the way, I didn't appreciate it because I just didn't know enough about it, but Barkov, damn, I know 2 goals. I know he didn't have a lot of goals this year, but I mean, he just, when he has to score, he scores. When he has to play D, he plays D. When he has to make a pass, you've seen this show for a long time. Just how good is the silent assassin, man? Because he doesn't have a big personality. Like, he looks like he likes to go home and hang out with the family and the dog, man. The guy doesn't say much.
No, he's a humbled star, that's for sure. And Coach Maurice summed it up pretty good yesterday for him not, you know, obviously scoring a lot this year. It was good for the confidence to see him go in there and get a couple goals yesterday, because he's so unselfish that he's always looking to distribute the puck, and we know what a good passer he is. But he's got a great shot, and I think a lot of the times when you put him in that position to shoot, you know, a lot of times he could beat the goaltender. Perfect example, you know, it was obviously the first goal, but you look at the second goal yesterday, I think he really fooled Vasilevsky thinking in that kind of bumper area that he wasn't going to shoot it. So it was great to see him kind of just take control in that area. But right from the start of that game, he was right. Yeah. I mean, you can see he was kind of, you know, playing big boy hockey, and it's great to see.
Hey, Eddie, explain to me, you've been around goalies your whole life. You've seen guys that, you know, fall apart. You've seen guys that are strong mentally and emotionally. This Big Bob comeback, since when he first got here and we're in the playoffs, and hell, he not even suiting up, it was so bad for him, to this guy that's playing right now and how good he's been here recently, how do you explain that turnaround, especially later in your career when you're in your 30s like this?
Well, it's a funny position, right? I mean, everything, you're going to take the brunt of a lot of things that don't go right, but, you know, we all know it's a team game, and kind of what's in front of you, that's, you know, you're giving up these grade A opportunities that some goaltenders just, you know, have no hope on saving. But I think Bob, just his work ethic, mentally strong, waiting for that opportunity, and it came right. And I think he just, you know, ran with it. You know, we all talk about, and you hear it a lot from the organization, just the work ethic that he puts in on a day-in, day-out basis. I mean, his attention to detail is there, and I think now you start feeling it, right? You're getting down to this stretch drive, and that's where we're seeing his best hockey. You saw yesterday, 2-1 game, kind of a breakdown, makes a huge save to keep it 2-1, and eventually the guys end up winning the hockey game. But he makes those big saves at the key time, and that's what you want out of a star goaltender, especially in the playoffs. That one save you know, can be the difference of winning a game or winning a series.
The penalty killing last night was good against Tampa Bay and that strong power play they have. What makes a difference of what you've seen in their penalty killing? Who's been the difference maybe and why they've been so good?
Well, first of all, you look at Barkov and Reinhardt. I think these two guys are probably one of the two smartest guys in the league. I think they recognize any time there's an opportunity to attack, on the offense, they do. But they're so attention to detail on the defensive side, knowing what's the number one priority on that is killing a penalty. But you look at the back end now, adding Seth Jones, big bodies down there. I think their reads are really good. They're big, they're long in that area, and I don't think you're giving teams an opportunity to kind of really set up.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this team does so good on the read and reaction plays. They're not really they're keeping everyone to the outside. And I don't know, I mean, their PK was good, you know, yesterday, but when you look at this game like that, shutting down Tampa, who has a lot of talent on their power play, I mean, to go 0-for-7, was a big night, and it certainly was a difference in the hockey game.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, man, it's fun what they've got going, and yeah, they are sniffing, and as you said, Zito got the green light from the top. Let's go for it, man. Try to get this back-to-back. It's just been so fun to watch. Eddie, thank you, man. Thank you, as always, for coming on. I appreciate it.
All right, Joe, anytime, guys.
All right, Ed Jovanovski, Panthers TV analyst, former first overall pick in the draft for the Panthers going back. He's still a young man. Still a young man going strong. Hey, we've got the 9 o'clock hour coming up. Atlantic Men's Clinic, man. ED and low T, nothing to mess with. Nothing to mess with. You know, so guys been laughing lately. I have a couple guys, all right, smart asses, they come up to me. I go, listen, I'm just gonna tell you something, man. ED and low T gonna happen to every guy here. Every guy here. Some of you guys gonna happen in your 40s. Some of you, half of you in your 50s, everybody in their 60s, 70s, 80s, you're done. ED and low T going to hit you, and then you can lie all you want to me, but I'm just talking about having a better lifestyle and being able to get more out of life when you have your energy and your sex drive. Man, when that sex drive is gone, it plays with your mind, your brain, you're depressed, like, oh my God, here we go, not again, oh jeez. Well, Atlantic Men's Clinic, that's what I want to tell you about. The good news, if you have ED and low T, and you don't need to tell me about it, but call them and let them take care of it for you. It's going to disappear quickly. That's what Atlantic Men's Clinic does. They knock out low T, they knock out ED, and they're ready to do it for you right now. 6 locations in South Florida, got more on the way. Schedule a consultation with Atlantic Men's Clinic. They're professionals. They'll do all the testing, the T, the PSA test. They'll put you on a program. They'll tell you all about it, explain it in third grade terms so all of you can understand it. I could. And, man, it works. And it works quickly. I always get that one. Hey, Joe, how quickly does it work? It works quickly. 877-455-7300. They explain everything to you. 877-455-7300. Set up that first appointment. It's the most important one. And get started on the program. Go to AtlanticMensClinic.com. Atlantic Men's Clinic works.